this shirt smells like pee. This one I just put on. Do you want to bring you home an ice cream?
No, thank you. Hello, everybody.
Are you guys ready?
Let me share this for a second, and then we'll get started. See if I can share it. There. Okay. That's done. This is Soul Essentials Healing Hour. This is where we talk about all things healing. Anything about healing on the soul journey. So we'll wait for you guys to join in and see what kind of questions you guys have tonight, what you want to talk about tonight. We're in the middle of summer. It's almost over. We're going to have to go back to school soon. You can see that in the stores if they're already starting to get out those school supplies. Hopefully this year is different from last year. I'm excited right now. My school system is taking kids back in person, and so far we don't have to do mask. So let me know what you guys want to talk about tonight. There's been kind of a theme today, and it's been about watching your thoughts and controlling your thoughts, not letting them get away from you. That would be my grandkid running through. So when it comes to thinking and your thoughts, the theme for today has been learning to recognize your thoughts and learning that you are not your thoughts. Thoughts just kind of happen. The brain is constantly thinking. It's constantly trying to figure things out. It is constantly looking for answers. It's looking for when things are out of place, or maybe they're not normal. The brain is constantly looking for anything that might be a danger, or maybe something we need to worry about. And if you're not aware that you're doing that, if you're not aware that you're having those thoughts, then the mind will just run. It will just take over. You will be having all these thoughts, and you won't be able to realize that you're not your thoughts. So the first step in learning to control your thinking and to change your thinking and to raise your vibration and raise your energy is to be able to notice when you are thinking and what you are thinking. So instead of this constant stream of thoughts just coming and taking you over, being able to step outside of yourself and observe and notice the kinds of thoughts that you're having. Notice, are they negative? Are they scary thoughts? Are they anxious thoughts? Are they bothersome? Or are they positive? So my challenge to you is to learn to first notice your thoughts. Start to pay attention to what you're thinking. And then after you do that, to start to notice what kind of thoughts that you're having. Are they positive? Are they negative? Are they heavy thoughts? Are they light thoughts? Heavy thoughts, they stick more. They feel heavier. So if you're thinking a bunch of negative thoughts about a bunch of things that have happened in your past, you're going to feel heavy. You're going to feel down. You're going to feel weighed down. That's going to have an effect on the body. So this is where our thoughts affect our body, and it can create illness in the body if we have these long-term, heavy, dark thoughts that we don't watch and we don't control, and we just let take us over and leave us in an anxious state all the time, or maybe an angry state all the time. So then after you've started to notice what you're thinking, you start to notice what kind of thoughts that you're having, the next step would be to start to stop those thoughts or change those thoughts. So it's important to be able to notice them and then say, hey, what am I thinking? What am I doing? And when I teach people this, what I find is that usually in the beginning, they don't even realize that they've been having all these negative thoughts. And they don't realize they can stop their thoughts. That's probably the biggest thing that I get from a lot of people is that I don't know if I can stop my thoughts. I can't control my thoughts. They just take me over. Well, you can actually stop your thoughts. You can actually control them. And if you can think certain things, or you can make yourself think certain things. So if I say to you, let's imagine a cat, and you start imagining a cat, that's me putting a thought into your mind. I'm putting a picture, an image into your mind, but it's also a thought into your mind. The other thing is when you say, oh, I got to remember to do this, and you remind yourself, that's you controlling your thoughts. And if you can do that at least once, then you can do it again. So you set the intention, and remember, when you set an intention, people use, you know, that word a lot of set your intention. Your intention is a choice. It's a decision that you're making. So you are purposely making it to where you're going to pay attention to your thinking. That's an intention. When I have an intention to, you know, clean my house, I make that choice. This is my intention. I'm going to purposely, all my actions are going to be to get my house cleaned. That's what intention is. So we're making an intention to pay attention to our thinking so that we can change it, and so that it can be more in the positive realm, or at least neutral realm, and instead of taking us over and controlling us. When we have these negative thoughts over and over, and when we think these anxious thoughts over and over, our body tends to just do it on its own. We don't even really have to know what's going on or pay attention to what's going on. All of a sudden, we're just in this place, and this anxiety has started. This panic attack has started. And we don't even know what's going on, and we just feel like it's just hitting us. It's not just hitting us. We've trained ourselves that any new place to be anxious, around any people to be anxious. If I go into a building that maybe I don't know, that's an anxious thing. So we've actually trained ourselves to kind of be scared or to be anxious. So that's one of the first themes that I found has come up today throughout the day, and wanted to revisit that with you guys. And the other topic that has come up today is a lot about how that negative energy from thinking negative keeps us trapped into this mindset that things are happening to us. So in life, what I've found is that things don't normally happen to us. They can happen to you, so somebody can do something to you. It can be kind of out of the blue. It can be a surprise. But usually, it's because we have spent the last 3-4 months or years of our life thinking negative and thinking that things are in a negative view. Hey, Ken. So after we've spent our life in this negative way of thinking, that's the energy that we've put out. We've put out this negative energy, and then when we go to try to live our life and all these negative things happen and we say, oh, we're going to live a better life and I'm going to do things better, but the energy that we put out, energy is usually at least a month, if not a couple months behind. So what you're living through right now is what you put out into your world about a month ago, sometimes up to 3 months ago, and sometimes it's up to a year ago. It takes a while to catch up. So if you want a better future, you have to focus on what you want to create into your life and not focus on the negative, because if you focus on the negative, then you're going to get more of the negative. Focusing on what you do want to create in your life brings that energy to you. Ken, did you pack the mediumship cards? Do you have those? So we could go through those tonight. I don't know if I can add somebody on this video or not. I wish I could add somebody. I don't think there's a thing where it says I can add somebody, is there? Let me see if there's a... They're packed. So I was thinking we could go through those cards. Because they're specific ones. We could go through the meanings and see what they mean. But there's not a... I was trying to see if there was a way I could add you onto this. The last time we tried to do a video, Candace, I ended up having to quit the video, right? So, what do you want to talk about today, Can? Allow viewers to rewind. It doesn't show me that I can, yeah, I can add you. I was trying to see if I could add you. You want to talk about healing. Okay. Healing. Which part of healing do you want to talk about? Yeah, it doesn't let me add you, or I would try to add you. So healing from past traumas, healing from, which part of healing do you want to talk about? Let's see if I can. Regret. We're still on regret. Okay. So there are some things in life that we do that will never feel good. Doesn't matter how many times you think about it, it's never going to feel good. So when you have regret, now there are some things that are just going to fall in that line that they're just never going to feel good no matter how many times you think about them. Ugh, I was awake and now I'm fallen, now I'm asleep again. It doesn't matter if you know, when it happened, you didn't really feel good right after. You could be 50 or you could be 60. There are some things in your life that you have done, we have all done, that you just will never like. They will never be a good thing. And the things with regret are usually the things that we wish that we could take back. We wish that we could change. The thing is that we can't change anything in our past. There's nothing about the past that we can change. The past is done. It's over. And I learned this from my daughter, my oldest daughter, because there's a theory out there that there's no such thing as time, that everything is happening right now. And it's a very hard concept to understand. And I still don't fully understand it. Sometimes I feel like I can get it, and then it just kind of slips, because we live our life very linear. Very like, this moment, it's 5, it's 6, it's 8, very dot, 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 dot. So it's very hard to get the concept that there is no such thing as time and that everything is happening all at the same time. But usually things that carry regret are things that we did in the past that we wish we could change, undo, or would have never done. And my daughter came home one day. I was trying to understand this concept of time. And she came home one day off the bus and she said to me, Mom, there's no such thing as time. And I thought, what the heck? You know, I had been asking for that definition. And I thought, well, they gave it to her. I'm the one asking. And she said, well, I was on the bus. We were driving by that farm on, you know, the road that we always drive by, and I was thinking about it, and that exact moment that we were driving by that farm on that exact day at that exact time, I can never get back. She said, I ride that bus every day, but it's never the same. It's never exactly the same second. The weather is never exactly the same. And then it would go into the concept of like Johnny on the bus, you know, that particular day that she's talking of, maybe he had spaghetti for mom's dinner the night before. But if you even tried to recreate it, Johnny would have a different dinner, or maybe he would have a different drink or a different amount of drink. So you literally cannot recreate the past. You just can't recreate it. It's gone. It's over. So the only moment that there really is right now. This very moment, this very second. There's no actual future either. That doesn't mean that you don't plan for the future. But there's no actual future, because you never actually get to the future. There is only right now. So tomorrow is, if that's the concept where they say tomorrow is always tomorrow, right? So the first thing to understand is that whatever it is that you're regretting is to fully accept. And remember, when I say that acceptance does not equal that you like it, but acceptance means peace. The faster you accept, the more you have peace. So when you accept that these things are in the past and I cannot actually change them, the next step from that is to say, well, what can I do from this point forward? Now, if it's something where you feel like you need to say you're sorry to somebody, or you need to make amends with somebody, that can help. You don't have to even, for those people who are perhaps not safe to make amends with, you can do a fake letter to them. Maybe you could do a prayer to them. But and then some people who, you know, maybe they're passed on, you could do the same thing. You could just talk to them, or you could write a fake letter or a fake prayer or a prayer to them. You could do those things, because those things are still energetically, even if somebody is on the other side and you sit down and you say, you know, I just want to say I'm really sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry for the way things worked out or whatever. That still energetically gets put into the universe. So that is one thing that you can do. So the first thing is realize that it's in the past. We cannot change it. No matter how much we want to change it, we can't change it. It is done. The second thing is that you can try to make amends if you have a way to make amends. Or if you don't feel it's safe, then you can do the, what I call fake, but you're actually going to do a prayer or you're going to talk to them, okay? The next step after regret is to figure out what lessons that you are pulling from the situation. So even if it's a bad situation, even if it's something that you regret that you did, there's still a lesson in that situation that you can use in the future. So maybe you screamed at somebody, or maybe you, you know, took something of somebody's, or I don't know, whatever situation it might be, you can look at that and say, well, what can I learn from that in the future? How do I want to be now? How do I want to be now today moving forward? And you make those changes. That in itself makes it changes the energy around it, that from this point forward I'm going to be different. So you're learning from the lesson. The lesson isn't a total loss, because you're going to recreate yourself out of having that little bit of regret, out of the situation that has affected you. And that in itself is very valuable, because you now are going to become a new person. And then you have to remember that I fully believe that guilt and shame and regret is only useful while you're learning the lesson. Once you've learned the lesson, it's useless to hold on to it. After you've learned the lessons and you've pulled the lessons out of it, if you maintain that then you are simply self-punishing. And self-punishment is never good. It's never a good thing. It never works out. It only makes you feel bad about yourself. It only decreases your self-esteem, your energy, and it will affect almost all areas of your life because it will reduce your self-worth. And when you have a low self-worth, that will manifest in your job, with your kids, your wife, your girlfriend, your husband, your money, all of it, your health. It will manifest somehow, some way in that. So after you've learned the lessons, there is no use for regret or guilt. Okay? So let me know if this is making sense to those of you who are on and who are listening. And also let me know if you have more questions about it. And the other thing is that you have to understand that there was something within you, there was something going on with you that created that situation, that created that behavior that you did. Something was going on. So for many people, you know, if you are, I don't know, say you're mean or you're grumpy, you're at the store and you're just mean and grumpy that day, and somebody needs to get in line really fast and you're like, hey, don't cut in front of me, and you say some mean things to that person, it's because you weren't feeling well that day. Something was going on. So you got up and you had a bad morning, and then you went to work and you had a bad day at work, and then you got out of work and your kids were screaming and crying, and so you had all these scenarios, and then you got to the store. So you have to look at what was going on within you that created that behavior. And you have to understand that whatever was going on within you that created that behavior was an unhealed part of you. Okay? That was an unhealed part of you. And you have to have a level of forgiveness for that part of you that was not healed, that did that behavior that you regret. Okay? If you can create that level of compassion for yourself, if you can create that level of understanding, then you can remove the regret. That doesn't mean that you ever really liked that you did it, and that doesn't mean you want to do it again, but it means that you can understand why you did what you did. Now, the key in it is that from this point forward, I'm going to be different. So, Natalie, I'm going to answer your question in a second, okay? I see your question. I'll answer in a second. When you create that level of understanding for yourself that something was going on that drove you to that behavior, that created that response or that behavior, that's the healing part. That's where the healing is. That's the part that you need. You need that compassion, that love, that understanding, that self-love and understanding. And you know, if it was something that was maybe not so good or not so right, you say, well, yep, that, you know, wasn't the best thing to do, but this is where I was at the time, and if I'm ever faced with that situation again, this is what I'm going to do next time. So you have to create that healing in order to get rid of that regret. You have to create that self-compassion, that self-love, okay? So if you have more questions on that, Candace, let me know. So the next question that's coming up is, how do you help someone stop taking opiates? Okay, so opiates are several forms of opiates. There is the heroin and the methadone and the Norcos, and these are all opiates. So what happens with opiates is, opiates for some people create an up. They give them energy. For like me, anytime I've ever had a surgery and I've had to have an opiate as a pain medicine, it knocks me out for like 6 hours, 8 hours. I'm just gone. There's no sense in me. I could never be addicted to them because I could never take them because I could never stay awake long enough. But for others, they will create an up to them. Except for the heroin. The heroin really just kind of knocks them out and then they nod. When somebody has an opiate addiction, what happens is when you have an addiction period, what happens is the body has this thing that's called homeostasis. Okay? Homeostasis is, am I okay? Am I hot? Am I tired? Am I cold? Do I got a headache? Am I hungry? That's homeostasis. Am I okay? It's, am I okay at all times? And the body, hi Berta, is constantly working on, am I okay? That is the body's job as a human, is to constantly regulate. That's part of the brain's job. The brain's an organ, is to constantly regulate, am I okay? And that is why when you're sleeping in the middle of the night, somehow you got a blanket, you don't know how you got it, because you got cold. And the body never stops working on this homeostasis, okay? When you have an addiction, your addiction gets added to the homeostasis. So what the body will say is, well, I'm not hungry and I'm not tired and I'm not cold, but I don't have that. So until I get that, I'm not okay. Literally, that's what the body says. It's not just the mind, it's not just they want to use. It's literally their body is telling them, you're not okay because you don't have this drug, okay? So that's one thing. So that's the cravings within the body. That's the cells in the body freaking out and wanting their drug. The other thing that happens is with opiates, opiates go straight to the bones. That's where opiates go. So when, and they actually make your bones weaker. They're not a good thing to take long term. Now there are some people that I know that do take them long term, but they take a very low dose, and it is due to like some sort of back pain or something, and they seem to be okay. But for most people, it's not a good idea to take opiates for a long time. So they go straight to the bones. That's what happens. So when the person is, when the effect of the drug is done, they start to go through withdrawal. And with opiate withdrawal, it starts to come out of the bones is what happens. So they feel like they have the worst flu in their life. They literally feel like they're going to die from the opiate withdrawal. They will not die from opiate withdrawal. It's not that, you know, you should always seek medical attention or medical advice or assistance with detox, but normally opiate withdrawal does not kill you, even though you feel like you're going to die, okay? And it's because it's coming out of the bones. So it gives them this flu-like feeling, like the worst flu you've ever had in your life. Shaking, nausea, vomiting, body aches, you know, fever, chills, all of it, the works. It's really, really bad. So in order to get them off the streets and to get them to stop taking the opiates or stop doing heroin, what we use is, there's a couple different ways that we do it. So I'm explaining to you, one, that the cells, what's happening in the body, because I want people to understand that this isn't just a be good issue, like why don't you just quit? You know, that's part of it, but the other part is a whole biological component that their body is literally thinks it's going to die without it. And then there's all these withdrawals that they're afraid of because they don't want to go through them because they're pretty bad. So one of the ways that we get somebody off of opiates is through what we call opiate replacement therapy. It's the same thing as if you're smoking and we give you the nicotine patch. It's a nicotine replacement therapy. So we give them opiate replacement therapy. Now, there are some people that go from heroin to methadone, and there's many people out there who, you know, get all upset about that, and they, you know, they say it's all bad and everything. And while I'm not the biggest advocate for methadone. What happens is when we can get them on methadone, we can get them off the streets. We can get them to stop doing things like prostituting, selling things, stealing things, pawning things. We can get them to quit doing that. A better opiate replacement therapy is Suboxone. It's lower. So what happens is in the body, your body actually already has opiates in it. We already have opiates in our body. We already have Valium in our body, diazepam. We already have, which is Valium in the body. We already have, our body is already its own pharmacy. We already have all these drugs in them. But when you start taking a drug, what happens is your body says, oh, I don't need to make that drug because you're going to give it for me. So it actually like stops making the drug. And it takes the body a while to figure out how to do that again on its own without the drug. So you have these like receptor sites, okay? So pretend this is an opiate receptor site. What we do is we give you some Suboxone and it locks into that site and it blocks it, okay? So it's blocked. So you can no longer use any opiates. It won't work. The site's already blocked. And because the site is blocked, you don't have any withdrawal. You don't have cravings, you don't have withdrawal, you don't. So now you can actually be sober and function and you're off the streets and you're off doing all those things. So that's why we use opiate replacement therapy. So we go in and we block the site. We tell the body it already has its drug, it doesn't need to go find it. And the person can start to heal and start to learn to function on their own. And then we wean them down off of the methadone, the Suboxone, the Subutex, we wean them down. Now, there are some that have gone to treatment, residential treatment, gone through detox, gone through the counseling part of it, and they come out and that's it, they're done. They don't have any other treatment, okay? And then there are some that they go to residential treatment and they go through detox, and then before they leave, because you have to have at least 7 to 10 days off of opiates, and they get what's called the Vivitrol shot. And the Vivitrol shot does the same thing that the opiate replacement therapy does. So you have that opiate site, it goes in, it blocks that site, so the site thinks that it's full, nothing can get in with no opiates. So they're actually fully sober, and the Vivitrol shot is not addicting. They can take that for, I've had people take it for up to a year and a half, and it's not addicting. There's no withdrawal from it. There's no craving from it. It works very well. We can also do that with people who we have on Suboxone and we're weaning them down and they're down to like this, just a little teeny tiny bit. And if we can get them to go that 7 to 10 days without anything, we can get them on the Vivitrol shot. And that gives their body over a full year to learn how to fully be sober so that they don't have withdrawal or anything. So let me know if that makes sense, Natalie, or if you have any other questions about it. And I'll be happy to answer those. So anybody else have any other questions about the two topics that we've talked about so far? We've talked about your negative thinking. We've talked about not having regret about things we've done in the past. And now we're looking at addiction and how addiction affects you in your life. So what other questions do you guys have for me tonight? The Vivitrol shot is my favorite thing. That is the one that I push for. I push for people to get on that shot. I've had one person who actually took it for almost 2 years. And it takes, you know, a while for the body to catch up and to heal. So I really like that. And it's because now they're fully sober. But they have no withdrawal whatsoever. So let me know what you guys think. What else do you want to talk about today? Candace, what else do you want to talk about today? Addiction is it's a tough topic because there's a lot of sensitivity around that topic. So I don't hit that topic a lot, but I do know quite a bit about it, and it is difficult. It's difficult for people to be sober. It's difficult for them to get sober once the body has created an addiction. So it's kind of the theory of, you know, I can take a rat from a field, and a rat should technically never be addicted to anything. What is the rat going to be addicted to? But if I put it in a lab and I give it an addictive substance long enough, I will create an addict. And the same thing happens to us. If we are out there and we're taking these street drugs, we will become an addict if we take them long enough, these addictive substances. Right? And the body will always want more. The reason the body will always want more is because the substances that we're putting in the body are technically poisons. So when we're putting the substance in our body and the body says, oh, this is a poison, I need to get rid of it, what it does is it's constantly figuring out how to metabolize this drug faster to save your life. That's what it's trying to do. So what happens is in the beginning you need like 2 beers, and then you need 5, and then you need 12, because your body will forever figure out how to metabolize it faster in efforts to save your life. That's what it's actually doing. So those cells will actually forever kind of be able to take more and more and more until it can lead to death. So addiction is a very difficult thing, and those that are able to get sober, it's a pretty awesome thing. It actually takes a lot of strength to do that. So let me know what you guys want to talk about now. Tell me what you guys want to hear. I've been doing some summits and some podcasts. Wake up. I should probably put the links in the group. I'll put the links in the group. I've been doing some podcasts and some summits on healing lately, energy work, that kind of stuff. It's been fun. Been busy. What other questions do you guys have? If you don't have any other questions, then I might just jump off. Unless you guys want to keep talking, let me know. You want to do cards? We can pull a couple cards. I have to get my glasses. If you want to do cards, Destiny, you're on here too. Okay, we can do cards for a minute. Like I said, I have to get my glasses because this is my Akashic Record deck, and I don't know this deck very well, but this deck works with me. So when you have a deck of cards and you're, you know, starting to use them, one of the ways to know that the cards are linked with you, or the energy of the cards is linked with you, and that it's a good fit, is that when you do a reading, it is accurate. So when you do a reading on people, the cards come up and they match and they're accurate. That's one of the ways to know that the energy of the cards fits you. So when I did these cards a couple weeks ago with people, they were very accurate. They were right on. And that's what tells me, even though I haven't used these cards very much, that they're pretty accurate, that they're good. Okay. So I'm just shuffling them. I'm opening the energy, asking them to get ready. And then let me grab my glasses so I can read the book. And then we'll pull a couple cards for people. I'll be right back. All right. Okay, so I'm back. So we'll look at some cards. So who do we have on here? We have Destiny, we have Berta Kahn. Are you still on here, or who else is on here? We'll see what kind of cards that we have going on for you guys tonight. All right. So, Roberta, we'll start with you. I'm going to pull three cards. Okay. Last time I did this and I said I was going to pull three cards, I ended up pulling four for people. So I'm kind of just in my head asking the cards to just pull what you need to hear, the message that you need to hear today. Believe it or not, I had a lady tell me today, because I was gonna, she wanted a reading, and I said, well, I can come to you, or we can do it over Zoom. And she told me that was not very professional to do it over Zoom. So, all right. So let's see what you got. So let me find that page. I find that page that list them on the okay. So, the first card that you got is called Will, Wisdom, and Mind. I'll show you the card in 1 second. I want to find the page that that card is on so I can get to the definition. So, where is it? Will, Wisdom, and Mind. There it is. All right. So, Roberta, this was for you. Okay, so let me show you what this is. Oh, let's see. I'm still not very good at this. There we go. Okay, can you see that? So it says Will, Wisdom, and Mind. It's a gold of crown, power, and authority rest above a Celtic Trinity knot. On the other side of the Celtic knot are the alchemy symbols for fire and water. Below is the ancient three-leg symbol of the coat of arms from the Isle of Man. This is a time for enormous power, balance, and expression. The first three rays or energies of this divine move within you equally. Power, will, and love, wisdom, intellect, and mind are all working intimately together with your ascended masters, helping you make the changes that you're trying to make in your life. It is so, and then it's saying that it can, raising higher forces within you, higher energy within you. So I'm not sure if that's what you're feeling in your life. But that's the first card. The second card you got is the lightning bolt. Okay, so you must have a lot of power coming to you right now. Let's see where this one is. This one is .182. Lightning bolt. This card shows a time of splitting apart, of loss, disappointment. Yeah, I'm doing Zoom, but the lady told me that I was like, that was not professional. I kind of was just like, okay, sure. So Roberta, the first card here is saying that you have a lot of energy and forces and masters working with you, and it's a time of power. But the second card here says that it's also a time of loss or disappointment, that you might be feeling wounded or grieved or disappointed. Loss of relationships or opportunity or friendships. So when life does that to you, what you want to know is that, you know, so it's saying two things here. It's saying that you're having this loss, but also saying that you're having all this power and that you have these ascended masters that are with you. So one of the tricks to life is to know that all the hard things that we go through are meant to move us to the next space. They're meant to make us, to move us forward. So it's not just to make us better and stronger and wiser. That is true, but to learn to look at the hard things in your life and say, okay, what am I supposed to be learning from that? Because everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason, and there's a reason for this. It doesn't mean that this is fun to go through or that I like going through this, but there is definitely a reason that I'm going through this, right? So I would look into why you're going through this and what are some of the gifts that you can pull out of that. And then also know it's kind of the concept of life is not happening to me, life is happening for me, even though while we're going through it, it doesn't feel like it's happening for me, but it most certainly is. Okay? So, Roberta, let me know if that makes sense for you. And then the other card that you got was the Archangel Raphael. And let's see. Destiny, are you still on here? Do you want me to pull your cards? So this is Raphael. And this is a card. So that's, again, like the other card was saying, that you have, you know, people helping you from the other side. But, okay. Raphael is... it says that he often comes in human form. He comes disguised as human form. So it can be people helping you out, people that you didn't expect, that angel popping into your life and doing something amazing. And it's also a time of growth and personal achievement, is what it says. This is interesting. It says when he comes into your life, it could be a renewal of a lost dream, reuniting of family members, healing, and then also healing of a physical condition or healing of a broken heart. It's very interesting. I think that definitely fits with you. All right, Destiny, we'll pull some for you, okay? So we're going to pull three cards, Destiny. So you think about what you want to know. I said I'm going to pull three, but these cards seem to be giving me more than three. Alright, let's do this one. Okay, let's see what you got here. Okay. Your first one. I'm so bad at this. Turning. There. That. Can you see it? No. The scribe? It says the scribe. That's your first one. So let's look up. It is. The scribe indicates a great upsweep in mind and study for you. If there's any subject with which you would like to acquaint yourself, do so. This is a period of higher, I think this definitely fits you, right? It's a time for higher mind, higher learning, and opportunity. There may be a teacher or an entire school that can help you with this upliftment. Be sure to seek out the right people and right place of learning. You could also become a writer or a teacher at this time, helping and contributing and teaching others. I think that fits for you, right? And I would assume that the scribe means some sort of learning. That's what I would assume. You also got the Archangel Raphael, which meant that it's basically in this card, in this deck, it means that somebody coming to your life to help you. It's an angel showing up, popping into your life. It's a good card. It's a time of learning. I think that fits with, you know, maybe some things you've got going on in your life, but also with like going to school. It fits with that. So the Archangel Raphael, you got this one too. And that one was, you know, it would be somebody showing up in your life to help you. It's also a time of having blessings and angels and things like that in your life. So it looks like somebody new is going to show up and help you, or somebody that you're not expecting is going to show up and help you, which is basically the universe's way of answering your prayers. So when we put out a prayer, the universe puts all the things together to make that happen. We don't actually have to figure out the how, right? Yes. So you were thinking about school. So it's not our job really to figure out the how. We tend to focus on the how. We tend to stress over the how. But that's not actually our place. That's not actually our job. It doesn't mean that you don't do things, but it's not actually our job to do the how. It's our job to ask and then have faith and then to take action. So if we want to go to school, we put that intention out there, then we sign up, and then we let all the things fall in place, right? Okay, so let's see. The next one that you got is the treasure. Well, you got two of keys, and then it says treasure. Okay. So this card represents a great loss or disappointment in your life right now. It could be a loss of a job or a relationship, a friend, an opportunity. But remember that this is a temporary phase. It's a temporary thing in your life. And it might take a little bit of time for you to recover. That's what this treasure is, this chest. It is looking to the future. It is realizing that things will work out. So it says to not let yourself get lost in your thinking, lost in your thoughts, lost in worrying about whatever difficulty it is that you just experienced. Don't get lost in it. Don't get hung up on it. Don't let yourself overthink it or rethink it. And just know that it's going to work out and that things will work out in your future, which is kind of what we talked about in the beginning, where I was talking about paying attention to your thoughts, paying attention to what you're thinking, and not just letting your mind think for you. Because if you just let the mind run, it will just run. It will just do that. It will just keep running and running. And it will basically drive us crazy. But that drives your energy. That drives your emotions. If you're constantly in a worried state or got to figure things out state, then that will bring your energy down and your emotions down. Okay, so
we don't want to let the mind just think for us. We want to step outside of ourselves with our higher self, and we want to pay attention. We want to create that awareness of what we're thinking. Notice what we're thinking and say, hey, stop. Stop thinking negative. Stop thinking about that. I don't need to think about that. Okay, what I need to do is have faith that things are going to do work out and take the next best action. But to sit and worry and rethink about things, that doesn't actually fix problems. All right, so I think that the cards definitely fit. All right, any other questions before I jump off tonight? Let me know if you guys have any other questions. Otherwise, I'm going to jump off and probably do some dishes or something around here, right? Dishes are always fun. It's always the best thing to do, some dishes. Yeah, sitting and worrying doesn't fix problems. Okay, worry has never, ever in the history of ever fixed a problem. It just doesn't fix problems. And you can think about something over and over and over and round and round and round and round, but that doesn't solve a problem either. Most things will work out with a little bit of time and a little bit of space. Most things will work out. Sometimes we can think about things and come up with an answer, but if it's bigger issues, worrying about it will not create the answer. Usually it just makes you worse, and the solution ends up working its way out anyways. And then you just sat and caused yourself all this anxiety and anguish for what? For the universe to work it out anyways. It's very much a waste of time. So the more that you can try to not do that, the more that you can try to step outside of yourself and pay attention and notice that you're doing that, the more peaceful you will become, the less negative thoughts you will have, the less you will do that anxious thinking, the more that you step outside of yourself with your higher self and become aware of it. So we have, the lower part of us, which is, the lower three centers of the chakras, which is our human self. And then we have the heart, where the soul is. That's the heart and the soul, right? That's where. And then we have the upper three chakras, which is part of our higher self, linking us to the other side. And if you're going to stay stuck in the lower centers, then your energy will be down, you will feel down, you will be tired, you will struggle. When you can move up into the heart space and then up into the higher ones with your higher self, then you can actually, instead of producing results, you allow things to work out. You allow things to happen. You can't try to do all those things. It's not about doing, it's more about allowing than doing. There's a difference. Okay, when I'm trying to do everything and control everything and manage everything, that's an anxious state. When I know what I have to do, but I allow the days to unfold and things to unfold, it's a much more peaceful way of being. So that makes sense for everybody? All right, so I'm going to jump off. I hope everybody has an awesome week, and I will be back next week, and we will talk again. Bye, everybody.